Everett, Mr. Newberry.
There's a now with a one. Ooh, smashing us there.
جيبز وهيد نوت لو عايز يفنى يفتح دير فيلر فيكسر وعال فنى لمس يوكسن يلوحز زعني يرنى عالن فتيش سيوين يزي نيثروش نعم فاحبن عالن عرفز زور
Hönis en varp sig själv av en gnätser när man snur på fäck. Hur hun kär och isig kallt och ätt jag är nej. Det är en sen lötser när som vill dess sig samma.
Helt nej, det är så ofta det är kallt och den ofta med nej ett gott med sig där är det för helt nej. Helt nej, hela och nämmer sig där och för mot för den nöjs nöjs. När min dem skall tjän för en kyss upp ett gitt upp. Nämmer sig det för en kyss upp en snöjning av ett nöjs nej nej det är så ofta. När tjän och kaj av nämmer sig det kallt och nämmer sig att det blom som det vet. Snöjning av ett ofta för att förvilla. Ja, in vet niet meer aan de schets, in vet niet meer aan nieuwste memmers, die het gedacht met de verse doe. Gewoon is bussen de wijn droog, zo'n oude in de maand zoe. Nee, nu is er de verpe volle gold, geen verpe van de zorg, maar ze nummer kai. Mooi, was daar een ei, en je die schets, nummers die erop deed, de fellows ook geen verpe nummer kai, er eet sinds de verzanne. Het zou eigenlijk over van de oude in de lucht zo. Ja, in vet niet meer aan de urne wagen, en dan echt gedacht met de paar, die snijst nummers in de snevelijke. Why ever we hit an old such nor since ever that is on our to get an old worthy you will be for safe nor for help it. Or I and if I had I but it's out, yeah, but did ever I'm not nearly weird for.
Now what you see is the driver and all the cars is a little off again, they got, you know, these are all off again, but it's got, you know, by the way. After the little bit, no, yes, then you don't carry me.
Enough near my business, or so if he is here or tomorrow, my only leader, though. Yes, and I hear if you're right, so much to do. He'll see if the next mouth surface snobs are near a towel.
You know,
There was more glad-handing than fist-shaking at the two-day statewide Democratic convention in Fairbanks this past weekend. Kennedy supporters turned out in force, as did backers of Senator Mike Gravel. The only really lively exchange of the convention occurred when the senator, who was addressing the crowd, invited challengers Clark Greening and Michael Beasley on stage for an informal debate.
I understand the convention thus far has been interesting but quiet, but let's have a little bit of fun. Okay. I think people will judge if one is being a president or the other. And now it's your turn on the moral majority. You got any comments you want to make on it?
Yeah, they never contacted me for some strange reason.
We've all got our problems, and I'm sure that Mr. Glover and Jerry Prevost, with my close association with them, I'll see that they contact you and you can get a chance to ask the question.
You know, it's sort of strange. I started taking tests when I got out of school.
Well, no, we don't want to go into any personal history. We've got a problem with moderation here. Now, if you want to speak to the moral majority, please speak.
But you're really joking. You didn't really, both of you really didn't fill it out, did you?
What's wrong with filling it out?
You know?
What's wrong
with that? It's sort of wimpy.
The laughter in response to first-time candidate Beasley greeted almost everything he had to say, whether dealing with the moral majority, D2, or sources of campaign funding.
I don't care if each of you gets $10 million from the oil companies. If you have nothing to say, what difference does it make? Even without money, I can get a megaphone. I don't need money. I get a megaphone, a little truck, and wander around the state. So what?
The freewheeling, unmoderated debate lasted about half an hour, despite protests from people who either wanted to get on with other business or just wanted to hear Gravel. But convention chairman Chancey Croft, Democratic candidate for governor in 1978, was clearly enjoying the verbal jousting. In other business, Gary Ackerman of Fairbanks was elected state party chairman, succeeding Andy Edge of Nome. Ackerman is the president of the Fairbanks local of the Pipefitters Union. He was nominated along with Gordon Evans of Juneau, who had served as Democratic state chairman between 1976 and 1978. However, before the vote was announced, Evans moved that Ackerman be elected chairman by acclamation. There were reports that Andy Edge, in stepping down from the position of state chairman, would seek the position of national committeeman, challenging another former party chairman, Willie Hensley. Hensley, who referred to Edge as the, quote, phantom opponent, was elected to the post. Said Hensley,
Alaska's sadly misunderstood nationally, and I would like to see what I can do to help bring some understanding about Alaska's problems, you know, at least to the Democratic administration, if it's still in office, and for those who are, in key political positions in Washington in particular.
Joining Hensley in the national efforts will be National Committee Woman Peggy Begich, who defeated Rose Palmquist. 18 delegates were selected to attend the Democratic National Convention in New York, scheduled for mid-August. 14 uncommitted, 3 for Kennedy, and 1 for Carter. Former Governor Bill Egan had been proposed as a favorite son candidate, but declined the draft.
I appreciate, and it's really a privilege to have these people doing this, but I have no, I'm not a favorite son candidate, and I do sincerely appreciate the feeling that many, many of these people have in that regard, but I don't have any desire to be going back to New York this year.
Given the weather in New York in August, who would? Karen McPherson in Fairbanks. Michael Beasley is a Democratic candidate for the United States Senate, running against Clark Greening and incumbent Mike Gravel.
Many people say, well, why are you running?
And almost everybody is surprised that he is running, including challengers Greening and Gravel, who first heard of the man during last weekend's statewide Democratic convention in Fairbanks. Beasley, a resident of Eagle River, is a member of the Fairbanks Laborers Union, 46 years old, and according to his campaign bio, a, quote, world traveler, army vet, and former businessman. His platform, he said, is simple.
Don't let them take it away. In other words, don't let your American standard of living be taken away. Because once the standard of living is reduced, it will never come back.
Beasley's press release elaborates on this theme. Quote, offering a different choice, Mr. Beasley pledged to fight against the erosion of American living standards, which he said are a result of current government policies. Unquote. The document continues, quote, high unemployment and small business collapse were not accidental, but a plan to forcibly reduce the Alaskan population.
I think that you have stupendous permanent unemployment. You have people in small towns, not to mention the big cities all over the state, who have been hoping for that American dream to come, and they're still hoping, and they never got it. And now even the little they have is being taken away. They're losing their homes, they're losing their land, they're losing this and that and the other thing, and they're being told that you have to show discipline, you have to show restraint. That's so much slush. That's absolutely untrue. They are being deliberately leveled down, and unless they wake up, that's what's going to happen.
Beasley, who has never run for elective office before, sees no problem in winning the nomination or the election.
If I'm correct in my thinking, right? I'm correct, there should be no great problem if I can get the message across. I think that there is a great deal of unhappiness and unrest in this state, and other people don't think so.
Beasley's well-financed opponents don't worry him.
I have, right now, just two opponents. There's no difference. There's no difference. Even one of them admits the difference is in style. Okay? So I say one's talking about ancestry and the other's talking about seniority. I don't care about either topic. I think if I won, it would be such a shock to all of these people in both parties that many of them would take to a therapy cure for the next 4 months.
I'm ready. Ready as anybody can be. I am ready for you. I hope you're ready for me.
Michael Beasley, Democratic candidate for U.S. Senate. I'm Karen McPherson in Fairbanks. Growing along the pipeline? Sure thing. Using the waste heat from the line, greenhouses holding the sweet-smelling flowers could proliferate. That's plant physiologist Don Dinkle's vision.
A rose should be where the sun shines through, not where the wine is red and the smoke.
If you think through the possibility of growing in a greenhouse and look at the tremendous quantities of waste heat that are available from power plants, from refineries, possibly from the gas pipeline, there's many, many acres, hundreds of acres of potential greenhouse here.
But why roses?
We're using roses because they could possibly be shipped to world markets. Many of the roses are in the air already anyway. They come from Israel, from Colombia, from Brazil, from Mexico, from Texas to New York, and so on. So they're in the air, and we're on the world air routes anyway. We're closer to... I would guess that Alaska on air routes are close to more markets than any place else.
A rose is a rose is a rose.
The rose is a high-value crop. We felt, or at least I felt in the beginning, that we could put out a quality rose because of our high sunlight. You know, see the sunlight out here, it's just ideal. And by air movement, which is rather cheap, we can keep the greenhouse cool. When we have that high sunlight and that cool air temperatures with warm soil temperatures, you know, from the waste heat, we have an ideal situation.
A rose should be blooming in the light, not in a
we have have probably 10 to 12 different varieties under test here. Some are, of course, much better than others, and that's what we're trying to do, is get the nicest rose with the heaviest production of good quality long-stem roses.
One doesn't think of Alaska in terms of big roses. You think of the big cabbages and the big turnips. This is quite a change.
Well, I think the same principle is there, that we do have a lot of light during a certain portion of the year, and that's important. We have some deficiencies, but one of our real pluses is our long sunlight. If we learn how to use it and develop the varieties or find the varieties that are adapted to this, then we have a real advantage. If you look at our sunlight during the summer, we have, I always like to say from May 30th to about August 30th, we have, that's our outdoor frost-free period normally. We have 450 more hours of sunshine than they have in Chicago or Minnesota. And that amounts to about 38 more days of 12-hour days. So the long, cool, sunny days are an advantage for certain things. And in a greenhouse, it's an advantage for most things.
I'm sending you a big bouquet of roses, one for every time you broke my heart.
And this is Aurigold, one of the very good cut flowers. We have a number of others. Looking at the other oranges or golds, Golden Fantasy is one of my favorites. It has a nice red stem. Mm-hmm. It's a nice long stem. The quality of the flower is very good. The vase life is excellent. And so I think that's a good rose. This is another yellow here, New Day. It's a very heavy producer. See all those buds?
Mm-hmm.
Just tremendous producer. So that's one of our better ones. The quality is also good. Those are the yellows. On the reds, we like Caramia, and Caramia is over there. There doesn't have to be a flower on that particular one. Reds are important because any rose, any color rose sells as long as it's red.
And if Don Dinkle has his way, those roses of all colors will be Alaskan. Karen McPherson in Fairbanks.